Good evening, this is Mae Brussel. The title of this one-hour broadcast is World Watchers. It's broadcast number 733, December 23rd, 1985. If you're not familiar with this program, we talk about political assassinations, and I share information about various coups and plots and provocateurs that have literally taken over this planet since the end of World War II. Before we get into the serious matter, I thought I would just share with you for laughs or whatever, an advertisement that was in the Los Angeles Herald, Monday, November 25th, 1985. It has to do with an alleged researcher, Dick Gregory. He ran as vice president under Mark Lane, running for president of the United States. I can't tell you what party that was. And Dick came to the conspiracy conference in Boston in 1975 by announcing that John Kennedy was still alive at Parkland Hospital. But Dick's on to something now besides that kind of research. The ad reads, Dick Gregory wants you. Earn up to $50,000 per year and more in the booming nutrition business. Ask yourself these questions. 1. Can you spare 15 hours per week? 2. Are you self-motivated and goal-oriented? 3. Do you like people and can you express your sincerity? If your answer is yes to all the above, please call 213-836-7462 for the nearest free orientation this week only. And it has to do with the food substance he sells. And then it's got about $30 or $40 bills around the edges. The whole thing is bordered in dollar bills. Now, I don't usually talk about rumors on this program, but Flo Kennedy is alleged to have said that Dick Gregory sold his Bahama diet plan. That's what this is all about. To Sterling Drug, which is IG Farben, and no wonder the dollar signs. The figure was tremendous. It may just be a rumor, but the figure I heard was tremendous. So the dollar signs are very significant, and he gives you an opportunity. Our week is over. We've missed our chance to get $50,000 a year. I wish I had responded earlier, but I missed it. In case you want to follow it up another time, you can. Now, there's several appointments, two in particular, to the courts in the United States that I haven't talked upon because I believe they're fait accompli. The power structure is very strong in Washington, and one was just appointed. That was the Senate approval yesterday of James Buckley. He was nominated to the United States Court of Appeals in the District of Columbia. Only two senators objected to his nomination, Christopher Dodd and Lowell Weicker, but he will now represent the Justice Department in the capacity of a judge. This nomination is being advanced almost exclusively because of Buckley's conservative views, said Dodd, who defeated Buckley in the Senate race in 1980. Buckley, the older brother of William Buckley Jr., the conservative writer and editor, has been president of Radio Free Europe and Radio Liberty since 1982. Now, this Buckley that will be the judge has been a he is a member of the Knight of Malta. He has been part of the CIA, Radio Free Europe, and Radio Liberty is defense intelligence and CIA intelligence. And I think it's a very dangerous thing that Ronald Reagan is stacking the courts with known conservatives, not just politically conservative, but he's the brother of William Buckley, who set up the Young Americans for Freedom in 1960 with Ronald Reagan and Charles Willoughby, otherwise known as Mr. Weidenbach from Hitler's Kriegsakademie, the war college of Adolf Hitler, and Robert Morris from Dallas, who entertained the Munich gang that came over in time for the Kennedy assassination in Dallas, Texas. Another judge who will pass through, of course, is Stanley Sporkin. His nomination has been held up for a long time, for months, but he's the CIA general counsel, and he soon will be made a judge also. The controversy just holding him back now is $1,700 worth of entertainment he got from the owner of the Washington Redskins, Jack Kent Cook. Mr. Cook just bought a large radio TV station in Los Angeles, and it has to do with his going to the football game in Miami at Super Bowl at Tampa, Florida, and accepting this fee, which is very small, in consideration of what the CIA does and representing them through all of their dirty deals. Now, the important thing about this is that Alan Dulles, who was director of the CIA, was an attorney, and he said that he would have lied under oath to protect the intelligence community. And last week on broadcast 732, I talked about how the CIA was formed, how the covert operations were formed. That includes political assassinations, propaganda, which is really translated as lying for a particular purpose, sabotage, economic warfare, battles against resistance movements, which is the poverty level, overthrowing the dictators, and political actions. So he's represented the CIA, has always been close to the CIA, and these two men have been appointed by Ronald Reagan. One has already been approved, and the other will become a judge. And if Alan Dulles has said under oath that he would lie under oath, which he did, as the leader of the Warren Commission, steering away from all the conspiracies, why would we have any reason to believe that these judges would be better? And furthermore, Mr. Buckley serves in the military branch of the Vatican, so he has two loyalties, and as Herman Abt said, as a Knight of Malta, his loyalty is always to the church before the country. Herman Abt is or was the chairman of the Deutsche Bank, on the board of IG Farben, the same sterling drug that is interested or did buy the Bahama formula from Dick Gregory. Now, going into scandals, the rest of this program is on scandals and not judges, about scandals. The first along that line is life prison term sought for financier. This was a story December 14th in the newspapers from Milan. The prosecution Tuesday asked for the life prison term of Michael or Michele Sindona, the high-powered financier, on trial on charges that he planned the murder of a bank examiner in 1979. Prosecutor Guido Viola also asked life imprisonment for one of his partners who's in New York City, who's accused of being the intermediary between Michael Sindona and the assassin. The alleged assassin was murdered in 1982 as these scandals began to unfold. He was in Buck County, Pennsylvania. So this is a man who worked closely with Richard Nixon, with the GOP, helped raise money for the Republican Party, close alliance to all of the scandals going on at the present time. But it's not just the banking problems or taking money or investing in the mafia. Here's one of the highest officials of the Vatican Bank, a protege of Pope Paul VI, and when he was Secretary of the Vatican, Mr. Montini, referred to as the Milan Mafia. He became a pope. He took the money from the Vatican and used it for all kinds of purposes and for banks that did go broke, but murder is the charge that's been placed on the financier for the Vatican. Jonathan Marshall had a newsletter called Parapolitics. In 1982, March 31st, 1982, he described Michele Sindona. He said the Sicilian-born financier and 75 others were accused of mafia heroin trafficking. And this links to the New York and Italian mafia trials going on at the present time. They were ordered to stand trial on charges of criminal association with drug trafficking and other crimes. The size of the traffic was estimated at $600 million a year. That's 1982. Some of the leading families of the Palermo Mafia were implicated, including the Gambinos, and they list the other Italian families, but the Gambino connections are on trial, some of them in New York at this time. Sindona was accused of illegal possession of a weapon, using a false name to case $100,000 in traveler's checks at a Palermo bank, and breaking currency laws by secretly bringing money into Italy. The Sicilian Mafia appears to have helped Sindona during his disappearance from the United States. Also indicted was John Gambino, who lives in the United States. It is unlikely that Sindona will be extradited to stand trial. Now, those were quotations from the New York Times and Newsday, but then it continues. Meanwhile, the Italian government has filed suit in federal court in New York against former Treasury Secretary David Kennedy for conspiring to defraud the Banca Privata Italiana, once controlled by Michael Sindona. The Sicilian connection still is active. Federal agents recently seized in New York City $70 million worth of heroin, and it was described as a large catch, and it was being smuggled into espresso machines imported from Italy. They sell them all over New York City in the section called Little Italy. Now, one former Secretary of the Treasury that was involved with Michael Sindona and Paul Marcinkus of the Vatican in these illegal operations was John Connally, governor of Texas at the time John Kennedy was killed, and he had been Secretary of the Treasury. Here's David Kennedy of Richard Nixon's administration, involved with the P2, the Masonic Lodge people, Michael Sindona, murder, attempted murder, and financial shenanigans. And our current chief of the White House staff, Donald Reagan, was Secretary of the Treasury for 4 years, and now he is literally controlling the White House, just as stiff as when Alexander Haig was there. He and George Shultz controlled the White House. So there's something about going from the Treasury, where the money is, to the Oval Office, where the power is. Now, this past week, December the 13th, there was a story in the New York Times. Italy indicts ex-aide in 1980 bombing. This has to do with Francesco Pazienza, who I've mentioned many times in connection with setting up a Jean to swing a Bulgarian-Russian plot out of a CIA plot. Pazienza is close to Michael Ledeen of the National Security Council, Claire Sterling, and the whole group of disinformation and provocateur activities. But this week, he was indicted for the Bologna bombing. And when that opens up, it connects to a lot of other areas that I've talked about on the program, but they've hit him with a charge that he helped arrange that. And of course, that goes down to Stefano Della Calle. And I'll read you a little bit about this, because in jail in Germany is Karl-Heinz Hoffmann and also Manfred Roeder. And these are the connections of this team to Licio Gelli, to Joseph Mengele, to Martin Bormann and Klaus Barbie, the drug traffic, the murder, the terrorism that went from Germany to South America and into the United States, this recycling of guns and money and fascism. And this past week he's been indicted. The article says a former Italian intelligence official, now being held in New York City in jail, has been indicted with others in Italy on charge of masterminding the 1980 bombing of the Bologna train station that killed 85. We always knew that Licio Gelli was behind this and planned it, actually, by meetings in Bolivia with Klaus Barbie. But Francesco Pazienza goes right into this scene. The new indictment announced Wednesday in Bologna follows an earlier charge, which Dr. Pazienza has also denied, which is responsibility for bombing by right-wing terrorists and blaming the attack on leftists. Now, that's what I was talking about last week on terrorism on broadcast number 732. The agent provocateur, the making the left look bad by random violence, pointless violence, so the people plead for a police state for security, never knowing where the shootings were going to take place. Remember, I cited an article, there's no motive for these Middle East crises, the hijacking of the airplane, the TWA, the killer lure, or the recent one where 55, more than 55 were killed. They were provocateur type of actions, I believe, just like the Bologna bombing. And in this article, and also in another article this week, the subject came up of doing an action for the purpose of uprising. It has to do with the Klan being involved in the Atlanta murder killings, and I'll do more on that later, and possibly that Williams, he claims he, Wayne Williams, didn't do any. But the links of the Klan to the murder and the stated motive of the Klan when they talked about killing one of the boys was to have an uprising and a response from the blacks. So this is the same thing that has been charged and brought up by Pazienza, which is what Michael Ledeen and Claire Sterling and Paul Hensa want from people in the United States to get angry at the Russians because they worked with Bulgarians to kill the Pope. The article goes on, Dr. Pazienza, a 39-year-old non-practicing physician, headed a special section of the Italian Information and Military Secret Security Service in 1980. That was CISMA, that he was in charge of in 1981. He's been in jail in New York City since March of 1985. That's when Ronald Reagan met with Mr. Bettino Craxi from Italy, and they quickly locked up Pazienza so he wouldn't talk, and they have him under lock and key. And meanwhile, these charges are growing about his case. Pazienza has been here since March on a warrant charging embezzlement of $200,000 from the Banco Ambrosiano. This article doesn't say it, but Pazienza set up the trip for Roberta Calvi to go to London, and then he was murdered in London. The new indictment was the latest twist in the convoluted case of the mysterious intelligence man whose name has repeatedly come up in some of the gravest post-war scandals and investigations. The day before this indictment, Ilyar Martella came to New York City to talk to Dr. Pazienza and take testimony on the allegations by convicted gunman Mehmet Ali Aja and another witness that Dr. Pazienza sought to get Aja to implicate Bulgarian agents in the shooting. Remember the change in the case when the judge is yelling Pazienza, which means quiet, and Aja says, yeah, Pazienza was the man? Well, this is the follow-up. Another person, Mr. Giovanni Pandico, who I've talked about, asserted that this intelligence official, including Dr. Pazienza, visited Aja in prison and offered him favors if he would implicate the Bulgarians. Mr. Pazienza's lawyer, Edward A. Morrison, a former New York City deputy mayor, was present during the questioning. So he's very important. Judge Martella is scheduled to return to Italy. He's gone back there now. But he delayed his departure in order to talk to one of the United States Customs Service agents who arrested Dr. Pazienza in New York March the 4th. Pazienza said the judge was seeking to talk to writers for the Village Voice about an article scheduled to appear this past week, which it did, on Dr. Pazienza and the Italian writers. And one of the people who helped write that article is Kevin Coogan, who also helped an article in The Voice on WACO, the World Anti-Communist League. Kevin has done tremendous research. He's one of the best researchers in the country. I didn't use his name until he went public. I've gotten a lot of information from him the past years. It's really a pleasure to know him, and now he is getting published, and he also has had Pazienza call in the people from the government, our government, to talk about a particular subject. Now, what they want to talk about, and this is very important, I'm going very slow and not running through this. Pazienza said the Customs Service agents questioned him about a reported sighting of Mr. Della Calle and an individual Turk in Miami. They were in Miami in April of 81, and the Pope was shot in May. And Stefano Della Calle is the one who worked with Otto Skorzeny, Klaus Barbie, and various Nazi groups, including Karl-Heinz Hoffmann and Manfred Roeder, all the connections to Hans-Ulrich Rudel, Joseph Mengele, Martin Bormann, the top Nazi network, which does in fact exist. Della Calle was in this country just this past fall, and he should be arrested. Of course, he is the man who did the legwork for the Bologna bombing, and he's now down in Peru causing a lot of violence and killing of populations under the excuse of killing drug dealers or stopping the drug traffic. He's part of a group that appears to be Maoist but includes this radical Nazi among them. Dr. Pazienza is charged that the Customs Service were seeking to cover up the awareness of the fugitive's presence in the United States, which is absolutely true and absolutely horrendous. And he's saying, hey, you had Stefano Della Calle here. Why are you after me? Another short story about the visit of the judge. This Judge Martello is the one who pulled the investigation of Aja to include Mr. Antonov and the Bulgarians and the hints of the KGB and had this group indicted that are on trial in Italy at the present time in Rome that is just at an absolute standstill. And the New York Times had a short article that he came to this country. Mr. Martella traveled from Rome to question Pazienza about Aja's assertions. Pazienza would be extradited soon. He's been granted a stay here. The allegations against Pazienza in connection with the papal shooting have emerged from often contradictory statements by Aja, who shot the Pope, and by Giovanni Pandico. Judge Martella was assigned by the Rome court to investigate, find out the allegations that have been made in the testimony by a number of individuals, including Pazienza, during the papal shooting, to determine whether any charge should be brought against them, which means you take the accusations away from the communist and from the Bulgarians, and all of a sudden they will have to go to the gray wolves, to the Nazis, to the Turkish drug dealers, to the Turkish fascists, to the CIA, to Frank Turpel, to Michael Ledeen, to Alexander Haig, to our National Security Council, to Reader's Digest and Claire Sterling, and all those lies that were poured out with books and literature and radio talk shows because they can't get anywhere in the court the way it is going. As a matter of fact, there's a story about about so many liars on the stand, they don't know what to do with them. Now, there's a new parapolitics type of information booklet, newspaper, comes out of Paris, and I'll put the name on the sheets that accompanies the broadcast. You can send for them. It's a newsletter. The Association for the Right Information, it's called ADI, and it's a very important addition to my library. I don't know how long they've been going on, but I just started subscribing. Now, under terrorism, Italy, in their edition, this is what they published this past July, under Aja, the extreme right and extreme left. The Italian press has thoroughly documented, and this goes, well, let me just paraphrase here, go on, say one thing about this. This leads to what I was saying last week about the terror network of the Middle East, of what is going on with the hijackings and the airplanes. The Italian press has thoroughly documented the hijacking of the cruise ship Achille Lauro by a Palestinian commando group. The only information of significance that the international press didn't pick up was that the person who telephoned for the White House to the Italian president of the council, Bettino Craxi, at midnight, October 24th, 1985, was none other than Michael Ledeen, American intelligence agent, officially declared undesirable in Italy for his lies and disinformation. Ledeen's Italian colleague, Francesco Pazienza, who was under arrest in New York, declared in L'Espresso, that was a newspaper that came out in Europe, that he thought he had obtained the eternal gratitude of the Reagan administration for having put together the Billy Gate affair involving Libya, the former president, Jimmy Carter's brother Billy, and for helping get Ronald Reagan elected by smearing Jimmy Carter, and for the scandal involving the suicide assassination of Roberta Calvi. It wasn't a suicide, it was a murder, and silencing him because of the various scandals. This newsletter goes on, the recent accusations are now also implicate the extreme right member of parliament, Massimo Abatangelo, Abatangelo, written up in the Espresso, who probably furnished explosives in several fascist bomb attacks. Both are also associated with a mysterious anonymous bank account in Switzerland and 600 million lira, which were deposited after the bombing in Bologna of the Naples-Milan express train. In the Aliaja affair, French author Alain has documented interesting information. The former Italian secret service group with the letters SDECE, now they've changed it to DGSE, director Alexander de Marinche and his personal assistant Maurice Leon Boucault were asked six questions concerning the affairs by Italian justice that were in the newspaper. They refused on the grounds of national security to answer any questions. In another article, Guérin described in detail the ties between Aja, the extreme-right Grey Wolves, the Turkish National Action Party, and the Turkish MIT, the National Intelligence Service, and ties between writer Claire Sterling and MIT by way of Colonel Volapan. Guérin also reveals that two or three Grey Wolves, Nazi fascists, including Oral Selak, met with Italian terrorist Stefano Della Calle in Miami in July of 1981. Oh, I'm sorry, in April of 81. So this is 1 month before the Pope is shot, and here is Claire Sterling as the middle woman between the fascists, her headquarters were in Rome, between the fascists in Turkey, the Central Intelligence Agency, between Alexander Haig, Francesco Pazienza, and, of course, Licio Gelli. Their boss attended Ronald Reagan's inauguration, and Michael Sindona, the team member, was very much part of the earlier administration. This article is citing newspaper articles from Europe, says, probably the best source of documentation on Jean and the Grey Wolves is a German book, and they have the name and author, and I don't know how to translate it. I'll have to see if they have it in English. It's centered on the Jean affair, but it's also the best single work in German on secret societies. The Knights of Malta, and here we go with Judge James Buckley, of course, and William Casey of the CIA. The P2, the Opus Dei, the founder of the Opus Dei was just arrested and taken to Spain last week, and organized crime. And the reason I'm going slowly on this is I'm going into the trials in New York City on organized crime because they connect to the Italian group and connect to the whole fabric of the Reagan administration with Paul Lexalt and George Shultz and Raymond Donovan, and the mafia connections are endless. The international extreme right is described in this book and also West German parapolitics. The book's most original information is on the Grey Wolves and their ties to the Turkish drug mafia and the Turkish state, and it's contained in four chapters. And Panorama, published in Europe, has published part of the transcripts of secret meetings in 1981 and 1982 between the Italian anti-terrorist chief, General Carlo Alberto Della Chiesa, and important Red Brigade member Michele Galati. So what looks like terrorism from the crazy left or crazy terrorists around the world is orchestrated through the highest agencies of the United States, and it's tangled into the Vatican, international banks, and a lot more will follow about that. Now, regarding the Jean trial, that's Pazienza. There's a story in the New York Times, December the 7th. Ex-Italy spy denies the charge to the agency. Ex-Italy spy chief denies agency linked to Jean. This is the former head of the Italian intelligence, and he says that two of his men from Italian intelligence did visit Mr. Jean in jail, but he denied that they tried to twist his testimony to make it sound like the Bulgarians and the Russians were behind it. He said that they just came to visit him, but other than that, they didn't have anything else to do but say, howdy do, I suppose. Now, another story from the Houston Post, this December the 8th, liars stymie the investigation of the Turkish links to the papal plot. And it comes out of Turkey where the prosecutors went there, and they are saying now on the stand, all of our witnesses are liars. The prosecutor took the case over from Mr. Martello, and he's trying to come to some conclusions about what went on with Jean, his links to the fascists, the Grey Wolves, and the Nazis. He said, we have to wade through hours of lies and half-lies to arrive at the moment when even the most dedicated liar reveals the truth. Now, that is the tangled web of the murder of John Kennedy and Robert Kennedy and Martin Luther King, because those three interlocking connections are so visible to any researcher who wants to spend the time doing it. And this article describes the contradictions where Ajaa would say, I don't know a certain person, and then he goes on and says that he gave Ajaa a fake Indian passport when he escaped from Turkey after he murdered a publisher, a leftist publisher. And then the article continues that the conclusions of this group that went to Turkey is that Ajaa is close to and has close links with the radical right-wing Turkish group known as the Grey Wolves, and that now they have to pursue this a little further. It's 1985. The shooting took place in 1981, but unlike the killing of John Kennedy and Robert Kennedy and Martin Luther King that are put on our shelf like videotapes that you can turn on and turn off, it is an ongoing investigation, and if we allow that in this country, we would find out how Ronald Reagan came to power and Richard Nixon and who was behind the murder of thousands of people in this country that's made that possible. Now, just a quick few-second comment. Oil man Marvin Davis has bought the 100% of Pebble Beach, which is the property around here, and I'll do more on that for local people at another time. He owned 50% when 20th Century Fox bought Pebble Beach, but now he owns 100%, and of course Gerald Ford is out here playing golf a lot. He's very close, Marvin Davis, to Gerald Ford and Henry Kissinger. He put them both on the board of 20th Century Fox, so you have a little view of what's happening in my neighborhood, not too far away from where I live. We'll take a one-minute break and go on to some very important stories in the news. I went slowly on the path because the implications of these articles are tremendous, and what these people have tried to do and how they're getting caught is even more interesting.